Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12, and we shall read together and look together for a little time at the faith and obedience of Abraham, indicated at the first part of this chapter. So Genesis chapter 12, particularly the verses 1 to 9, where we see the obedient faith of Abram. Now, he was one of three sons that were born to Terah. And we read in the previous chapter that with regards to these three sons, Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah, in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees. Now, it's interesting that he died there in Ur of the Chaldees, and he had been named Haran. And the place that they went to was Haran, and that seems to indicate that probably Terah had originally been from around that Sumerian area with regards to Haran and the various parts, but had gone to the capital, as it were. They'd gone to Ur of the Chaldees to be in the midst of the power and the place where there was more, hopefully, prospects for growth and for wealth and so on. And then there came a point where Terah looked back and perhaps thought, well, either I've made enough, I have my family, I have my sons, I have whatever I have, I'm going to head back towards what I know, where I know. Because you'll notice that direct communication towards Abraham and his call to go out to Canaan doesn't seem to occur until we get to chapter 12 and verse 1, where they're already in Haran. So the possibility is, we don't know for certain, but it's very possible that Terah actually wanted to return back to where he had been before. You think of what we read in Hebrews chapter 11, of those who, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came, could have returned. Well, perhaps that's exactly what Terah did. They went out of Ur of the Chaldees and they got as far as Haran. And Abram was going back, and along with those he went with, his own family and those of the larger extended family, was there in Haran. And perhaps that area seems very possibly to have been where Terah came from. Many of Terah's ancestors, when you look in the genealogy and such like, their names bear remarkably close similarity to the places and such like around Haran. And you know what folks are like when you get someone who's originally from Skye or from Lewis or from the Highlands, and they go over to Australia. They name all the places that they go to stay in of the name, or they look back and they form societies and they wear more tartan in the other country than ever they did when they were over here. There's a sort of looking back. And perhaps Terah had been doing that, and now he was wanting to go back, take them back to where he had been. He'd given the name, certainly, to Haran. And it doesn't say that Terah founded Haran, and as you see in other cases where someone founds a city and gives it the name of someone they cared for. It seems to have been an existing town or city, and that he went to that. So they went back as far as Haran, from Ur, the capital of the Sumerian kingdom and dynasty at that time, where Tira's youngest son, Haran, had been born and then had died, as we saw in Genesis 11 and verse 28. And initially, having moved to Haran, there Tira died. Now, Tira, of course, was, as far as we can tell, an idolater. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 2, it's made abundantly clear that prior to leaving Ur of the Chaldees, Abraham and those he was associated with were idolaters. They had been following the ways of the world generally and had been really no different from the others around them. Joshua 24 and verse 2, and Joshua said unto all the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him through unto Canaan." So there was this change that had been taking place gradually in the family's circumstances, initially from Ur of the Chaldees to Haran, and then from Haran, the call to go to Canaan. The call to leave whatever was associated there with the call to go all the way to Canaan. God appeared to Abraham and confirmed to him all that he had for him and would do for him. Abraham is a beautiful type of real obedient faith. When you think of the Apostle Paul and trying to find something that could illustrate what it is to be godly and believing, an example of justification by faith alone, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, chapter 4, Abram's faith is set forth as the example. Here is one who believed God and obeyed God. We read in verse 11 of chapter 4 of Romans, he received the sign of circumcision, the seal of righteousness, of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And then a little later on in verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So Abraham is seen as the father of the faithful. His life is a wonderful, a beautiful example of real living faith. And if you want to know what it is to walk by faith, looking at Abraham is a good way of finding out. And you'll find that it doesn't always go smoothly. Doesn't always happen just as you would imagine you would wish it to if everything were to be done right and proper and so on. There are bumps along the road. There is the second half of chapter 12. Hardly a glorious moment in the faith of the father of the faithful. And yet, he is such, and he showed himself ultimately to be such, and is remembered even as the friend of God. So we see first of all then this call to obedience. In verses 1 to 3, the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Chalmers, the old Free Church father, said faith is the starting post of obedience. When God calls us to listen to him, faith is where we start to obey. And that's important for all of us, wherever we are in that journey of faith. If we have been on the journey for perhaps many years, perhaps even decades, and there are some here who have been, then that faith which took us initially to make that first step by God's grace and to go in the way, we look back and we say it was faith there at the very starting point which enabled me to step out and to follow God and to obey his call. And ever since then, every step that has followed has required, if anything to be done for good, has required faith ever since. There's never been a time you could lay your faith to the side and say, I can do this in my own strength. I can do this in my own wit and wisdom. It takes faith. Having started by faith, we continue by faith. And Abraham is a beautiful picture of that. Even his failures we see as failures where he failed to do so and had to return back to the way of faith and to honouring God in that way. So the call to obedience, first of all, he had to listen to the Lord. At that time he was almost alone amongst the men and women of the world that were actually listening to God. Possible exception maybe was Melchizedek, the one who asked the king of righteousness, the king of peace, is pictured. Well, however you want to take that, you see that there were very few at that time who were showing real faithfulness toward God. But Abraham was listening to the Lord. I wonder, my friend, are you listening to the voice of God? Do you listen to him when his word is read? Do you take time to open the scriptures for yourself and read the word and listen to what God is saying to you? There's a huge part, a huge percentage of our society today that isn't listening to God. To be honest with you, we're not too dissimilar from the days of ones like Abraham and others who find themselves in large measure, those who wish to walk by faith, are overwhelmed by the huge majority of those who have no interest in listening to God and doing what God says. They just want to fulfill their own appetites. So you see, Abraham was listening to God when others weren't. And you, my friend, if you come here to listen to the word of God today, you're doing something unusual. The truth is, the vast majority of people in Aberdeen today aren't out at worship. And certainly, very few of them out at a gospel preaching church. There'll be some. For everyone that is, we praise God. But a huge proportion are not. They're not listening to God. But as you listen to God, you realize that as God speaks through his word, there are two things you can do. You can listen and obey, or you can listen and act as if you never heard. Whether Terah knew of what God was saying to Abraham, whether God had intimated this prior to Terah's death or not, we don't know. But isn't it true that there are lots of people who get as far as Haran, they get out of the main centres of paganism, they live pretty clean and family-oriented lives, but they never get quite to Canaan.
they never quite get to faith, to trusting in the Lord. And the problem starts by failing to listen to God when he speaks. And that's one of the things we see with Abraham. He was listening to God when God spoke. And you, my friend, must do that also. So must I. We must listen, and when he speaks, obey. We see here the call to him was not simply to listen, but to leave the world and all that he had known that was familiar. He'd already gone through that partly when he left Ur of the Chaldees. He'd left the grave of one of his brothers behind him there in Ur of the Chaldees. And then he'd gone to a place that reminded him of him, for he shared the name of that place, the brother who had gone. Maybe that made it feel as if they'd returned to a known, and that Haran had never really left them. I don't know. But now he was being called to go and to leave that which was known to him. He had left heathendom in its most distilled form there in Ur of the Chaldees, with all its idolatry and all its wickedness. Terah had been willing to leave at least that. But Haran, with the likelihood of far closer family ties in abundance, would have been far more difficult, far more trying. It meant leaving not only the grave of a brother, as he had done in Ur, but the grave of his father, whom he had loved and followed from Ur of the Chaldees. It meant going from the brother that was still living and leaving him behind there in Haran to fulfill the call of God. Isn't it true that when God calls us to faith, sometimes that's the hardest part? There are others in our family and they haven't yet set out on the walk of faith, and we think, will they ever follow us to Canaan? Will they ever follow us in the way of faith? Abraham is the father of the faithful. Listened to God and set out, and left those things with God. Ultimately, although his brother never followed, some of the children would follow his sons and his grandson. Ultimately, they would be wives that would come and would join in and go to Canaan that way. He had to look to the future. He saw the stability of all that God was promising as being something for the future. You look at verse 1. God said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. And that's instability. That's moving away from everything you know. But he says this, from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Here's the promise of a land. A land that not only will God show him, but God will give to him ultimately, to his seed, to those who will come after him. You know, most of the promises that were given to Abraham were not for him directly, but for those who would come after him. He wouldn't enjoy them right away. They were yet to come. And here, when he steps out to go to Canaan, he's looking to a stability that will come in the future to those who will follow on after him. A blessing that he will be to those who will follow him. And remember, his son and his grandson would also spend the time, as it were, wandering. It wouldn't be until hundreds of years later that the land would ultimately be taken by those who followed in his footsteps. But there was a stability promised in the land of Canaan, and what's more, there was a son promised directly to him with regards to Sarah. I will make of thee a nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Well, how could he do that? Sarah was well known for her barrenness. It would be quite some time before the fulfillment of that promise, and there would be a bump or two along the road in his own faith before that was finally fulfilled. And yet he looks to the future and the promises of God, and as they are unfolded, here he's being told that God will make of him a great nation, and at that time it didn't look very likely in his situation. He had a beautiful wife, as we see from the second half of the chapter. She was stunning. But she was barren. There were no children at that time from which to expect a great nation to arise. It was the promise of God that enabled him to go forward, looking for the arrival, first of all, of a son, but ultimately through time. Verse 3, I will bless thee and bless them that curse thee. Bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And there he's looking forward to the day, not simply when he shall have a son and when his wife shall rejoice and laugh at the arrival of a son for them in their old age, but looking to a day when all the nations of the earth will be blessed, and that ultimately is looking to the day when the Saviour would come from his lineage, the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Jonathan Edwards said, the scriptural doctrine of justification by faith alone, without any manner of goodness or excellency of ours, does in no wise diminish either the necessity or the benefit of a sincere evangelical obedience. We believe in justification by faith alone, but the faith that justifies is never itself alone. There is always obedience with it. It always walks in obedience to the will of God and the word of God. And that's what we see here with Abraham. Along with that, of course, there was the cost of the obedience. Not simply the fact that they had to go by the call, but the cost of it, to leave behind family and friends, as we've said, the graves of the departed, of his father there in Haran, and of his brother Haran back in Ur of the Chaldees, getting further and further away from these things. In our day, these things can hold a tie of sorts, but not like we had in those days. They seem to particularly think upon these things with great care. You remember in 2 Samuel, let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again that I may die in mine own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. He says, I do, much as I appreciate the offer of the king, I think I'm getting old. I'm at the time where I would like to stay and be buried with my forefathers. Abram was 75 years old when he was told to go to Canaan, when he left Haran behind and went toward Canaan. Not an easy thing. The company of the beloved, his living brother there in Haran, Nahor, and all that would come from him, all the family that would spring up. Isn't it true that when folks have to go away, one of the things they often miss are the nephews and the nieces and the ones that are near and dear? Not just their own direct siblings, but the children that come from them and all the ties that bind. These things are not easy to lay aside, but faith enables us to do so. And also the trust of those that we have known and the support of those that we can trust. And all the foes that lie ahead. Verse 6. Abram passed through the land and to the place of Sychem and to the plain of Moreh and the Canaanites. The Canaanite was then in the land. And if you look in scripture, you'll see that that was no easy thing. Warlike nations, some of them huge, with ones who still had that element of giant warriors, powerful individuals, able to do great damage and very much up for fights and so on. You see the sort of remnant of that when David ultimately and his warriors destroy those who were remaining in the land with Goliath and the other sons there of Gath. But he looked and he saw all these warlike nations and some great and powerful individuals. And the fact it would take years for it to become theirs. Obedience isn't an easy thing. Following God isn't taking the easy option, the easy way out. But it is the right way. And ultimately, the only blessed way. Well, he still said, whatever the cost and rearrangement, including bravely coming to terms with loved ones, friends, not to say pursuits, pleasures, and indulgences, you must turn to the Lord and give yourself afresh to Him. The cost of obedience is following God every step of the way. With regards to other things that are important and have their place, but are ultimately secondary to obedience with God. That's a cost of obedience. And Abraham is a beautiful picture of that. But the core of obedience is found in our walking in the ways of God. God said to Abraham, pass through the land unto the place of Sychem. And he went to Canaan. God said, go forth to Canaan, and he went to Canaan. To Canaan they came. There in verse 5, listening to God and then obeying and fulfilling. And all the way along, worshipping God. You notice as he gets out of Haran, the thing that becomes the factor that you notice is the building of the altar wherever he goes. As he goes into the land of Canaan, it's a statement that now what really marks him out is he's a worshipper of God. You see the walk of faith is a walk of worship. Worshipping God and of worshipping Him everywhere you go and He calls you. Step by step, day by day, year by year, throughout the years until you come to the end of your pilgrimage. He worshipped God in Sychem, he worshipped God in Bethel, and then as he went to the Negev, to the south, he continued to listen to God and to worship God. Obedience to legitimate authority is one of the fruits and evidences of Christian sincerity. When we listen to God and love God and worship Him, we are seen to be a godly and an obedient people. And that includes the way we treat others, even other men and women. Christian should be an easy person to be around in one sense of the word. Difficult, yes, I know, because we should be a standing rebuke to the sins of the world. I know that, I understand that. But with regards to our character, and, well, I don't know about you, but I know I feel I often fail on that. We should be so easy to be around. So easy. When we encounter others, that others say, I'd like to have that fellow, that individual around me more often. Abraham was a man who walked with God in all his ways and worshipped God always. But he waited on God's timing. The promises in large measure were for a generation yet to come. And Abraham knew that. God said unto Abraham, know of a surety. Chapter 15, he tells him this. Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. It'd be a long time before all these promises would be fulfilled, but Abraham knew God could be trusted. That's why I think he was the father of the faithful. Because he trusted God, he looked for that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. He wasn't just looking for the bricks and mortar there and then. He knew he wouldn't come to inherit it. He'd be in a tent all his days. It would be for others. And the obedience of faith is the obedience of a life that loves God and worships God and walks in his ways and looks to the future. For ourselves, of course, for heaven. But for our children and our grandchildren and the generations to come. You say to me, but wait a minute, I'm not married. How can I have children and grandchildren? Well, he was married, but his wife was barren at the time. But if the Lord spares, you may yet have many generations who will look to you for an example of how did you walk and how did you guide the family in your day. And Abraham, as the father of the faithful, led them in the walk of faith. And you and I are called to follow the Lord, to hearken to his call, to walk by faith, and to worship always through Jesus Christ. My friend, whatever your age or stage of life, I pray that you will be found walking in faith, in the obedience of faith, honouring God day by day, year by year, and leaving the fulfilment of his promises and his timing to God who is faithful. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us. Let us pray.